Welcome to Journal Club for December 6th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. If you take a drive around any major shipping port in the world, you're likely to see the same thing no matter where you are. Containers. Shipping containers in stacks. Stacks as high as buildings and as wide and as long as small towns. Thousands of shipping containers, all coming and going, being unloaded or loaded onto ships and being loaded or unloaded off of trucks. The machines doing the loading are usually giant cranes that kind of look like horses. They pick up a container, they move it over there, they pick up another one, and they move it over here. Countless times per day, day after day after day. I happen to live right near one of these ports, the Port of Oakland, and I pass by these cranes and containers almost every day. But never once in my life did I stop to think that the movements of those cranes were being carefully choreographed by an optimization algorithm designed to solve an NP-hard problem. I had no idea that down at the port they were doing hardcore computer science all day, but they are, and that's what this paper is about. The problem I'm referring to is called the Container Relocation Problem, CRP. You've probably heard of the bin packing problem or the traveling salesman problem or other famous and famously hard optimization problems. This is one of those. It's of that ilk. And before we move on, just to hammer home the context for those who might be confused about the wording here, containers in this context refers to big metal shipping containers, the kind you'd see an 18-wheeler hauling down the highway. This has absolutely nothing to do with Linux containers or Docker containers or anything like that, except that the story goes that the former was the nomenclature inspiration for the latter. But for this paper, we're only talking about big metal boxes. I just wanted to make sure that that was 100% clear. Let me break down the CRP and explain what makes it so hard. The context for the CRP is the ships come into the port and their containers are unloaded, meaning a crane picks them up off the ship and puts them on a stack somewhere. At that moment, the crane operator doesn't necessarily have any information about when the container will need to be picked up out of the stack and moved somewhere else. So although this is an oversimplification, you can assume that the containers make it onto the stacks in a random order. They just put them wherever they fit. At some point in the future, a big truck will pull up and say, "I'm here for container XYZ," or another ship will pull up and say the same thing. Either way, the crane operator in that moment knows two things. One, which container they need to retrieve, and two, where it is in the stack. What the crane operator doesn't know is how to retrieve that container in the fewest number of steps. Now, you might be saying, why is that hard at all? If the container is on top of the stack, you grab it, and if it's buried below other containers, you remove one container at a time from the top of it until you reach it, and then you grab it. Every stack is a LIFO queue, last in, first out, so there's only one solution, right? Wrong. It's more complicated than that. Here's why, and this is what makes it NP hard. Each container that is in the way of the container you want to reach is called a blocking container. Every time you move a blocking container, you have to decide where to put it, and that decision has consequences for future retrievals. Not only does each stack have height limitations, but the placement of that container on another stack can either make future retrievals easier or harder, depending on the sequence of container requests that come later. If you move a container to a stack where it blocks another container that will be needed very soon, you've effectively created an additional retrieval problem for yourself. So, why not just calculate the best place to put it? Well, it's not that simple. Yes, if you place it in a stack that remains safe for future operations, you might minimize relocations, but predicting this requires you to consider not only the immediate problem, but also all the downstream effects of every move you make. This creates what's known as a combinatorial explosion of possibilities. With each blocking container, you face multiple choices for where to move it. Each choice affects the sequence of operations for subsequent retrievals. The complexity grows exponentially as the number of stacks, container heights, and retrieval requests increase. There's no straightforward way to calculate the perfect relocation strategy without evaluating every possible sequence of moves, which is computationally infeasible for large-scale problems. This is why the CRP is classified as NP-hard. Finding the optimal sequence of moves involves searching through an enormous solution space and even small-scale problems can become intractable without heuristics. So while it might seem straightforward to just move the containers out of the way, the challenge lies in making decisions that minimize the total number of relocations over the entire retrieval process, given incomplete information and conflicting constraints. And just to reground us in why any of this matters at all, just remember, these cranes move slowly, so economy of movement is important. Every ounce of efficiency you can squeeze out of this process translates into goods getting to their destination faster, and the port being able to handle higher throughput per year. This isn't just important for the port, it's not an overstatement to say it's important for the whole economy. And as you can expect from a problem this important, a whole lot has been tried before. There are innumerable heuristics and algorithms that attempt to solve the CRP, and this paper is one of those solutions. It's just the newest one that claims to have an edge over others. So let's take a look at it. This new solution is fundamentally different from previous ones, not because of any advanced math, really. It's different because of the inputs, in two ways. One, other algorithms look at each blocking container one at a time. The crane sees the container that it needs to move and runs a heuristic to tell the operator where to move it. But in this solution, they don't just look at the next blocking container. They look at multiple future blocking containers at the same time. And that gives them extra context and data they can use to make better decisions about where to put this blocking container. Think of it like the game Tetris. You're normally only able to think about the piece that is falling right now. But what if you could see ahead to the next piece at the same time? You could probably make a better decision about where to put this piece, knowing what you're about to have to deal with next. Two, other algorithms only think about the current target that they're trying to retrieve, the container that is buried in the stack somewhere. This algorithm looks, again, at multiple targets. This is information they have at the ports. They see the trucks in line waiting to get their containers. They ask them which container you're here for, and they make a to-do list. Then they feed that list into the algorithm rather than just the current task. All that extra information means better choices. The authors devised a three-stage algorithm to take advantage of this extra context. They called it three-stage, but honestly, some of the stages are, in my opinion, overlapping. I'm going to explain it the way they did in the paper, but I think you'll see some redundancies between the stages. Stage one is about not making things worse. That is, can we assign blocking containers to destination stacks without causing additional relocations later on in our to-do list? For example, I may want to move this container to stack 21, but I can see that later on in my to-do list, I'm going to need to get something from that stack, so I'll avoid it. Stage 2 addresses the containers that could not be relocated in Stage 1 without causing problems. Here, they used an enhanced VRI, that's a virtual relocation index, that considers both the differences between the container's priority and the lower and upper bounds of the candidate's stacks, as well as penalties for suboptimal moves. For example, stacks with only one remaining slot are penalized more heavily to avoid wasting high-priority locations. This stage ensures that even when additional relocations are unavoidable, they are minimized by placing containers in stacks that are least likely to impede future retrievals. Stage 3 is a refinement step that optimizes the last relocation decision by evaluating trade-offs between the current and next target containers. The heuristic assesses whether the current relocation plan for a container would block or complicate the retrieval of the next container in the sequence. If so, it reevaluates the destination stack for the current container, potentially sacrificing a slightly suboptimal move now to prevent a costlier move later. So, as I said, I don't know if thinking of it in three stages is actually that useful. I might characterize it more as just an algorithm that takes more context into account and tries to make the best decisions by making use of this extra information that isn't normally available. So, how do they test it, and how did the algorithm do? They tested it, or rather ran simulations, on three benchmark datasets representing scenarios with varying stack heights, container volumes, and retrieval complexities. The datasets were sourced from prior research papers, and the tests included up to around 2,000 instances with different configurations. They also ran some common algorithms through the same scenarios as a comparison. Across all datasets, their solution outperformed competing heuristics, including MinMax, PR4, and VRH, in both solution quality and computational efficiency. For instance, in experiments involving larger stack heights and dense container arrangements, this algorithm achieved up to 23% fewer relocations compared to the next best heuristic. In addition to reducing relocations, it maintained competitive computation times. So in other words, it did well. The key to its success lies in its ability to leverage broader decision horizons, which allows it to account for the downstream effects of relocation choices. It's just dealing with more and better information than the other algorithms take into account. So while it occasionally does require slightly longer computation times than simpler heuristics and small-scale scenarios, this trade-off is justified by its ability to consistently deliver superior results. I like this paper and this solution not because of its computational elegance or anything like that. I like it because it reminds us that sometimes, to get a better answer, we just need to ask better questions. This heuristic is better because it has more and better information to work with. Sometimes, it's as simple as that. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Digg signing off. See you tomorrow.